have a word to share with you. Probably going to take a couple weeks to cover what I want to cover, but it's been stirring in me probably for about 2 months. It's probably going to come out strong. The word, meditating, the word sort of like fermentation. The longer it sits there, it gets stronger. Only this is to pour out the new wine, not fermented junky stuff. It'll kill you. Open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to begin at verse 19. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Boldness. I want to share on boldness with you. And boldness, this word in the Greek, sometimes is translated confidence, which we'll look at those scriptures as we get to them. But sometimes confidence, sometimes to speak freely or openly with frankness, some different ways it's translated into the English, depending on the particular scriptural context. But boldness, according to Zodiati's Greek Dictionary of New Testament Words, is to be able to be free to speak that which your thoughts are, just the freedom to speak. Okay, that's boldness. When you hear the word boldness, you can tend to think like in your face. But that's not really a real good definition. Because some people are bold with their sin. They're in your face with their sin. But that's not Bible boldness here, Holy Ghost boldness, where there is a confidence that you can have, not in yourself, but a confidence in God and in His Word. And there's a few things that are very important in terms of application. First, he says we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Or because the blood cleansed you from sin, you can approach God and come to Him without any fear. And I remember being bold, you can speak freely without fear. I don't know if I said that just like that. Without fear. Speak freely without any fear. And God, we need to recognize He is absolute authority. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And because of His Lordship, we need to have great respect for Him and approaching Him and in everything we do unto Him. When you gather here in the name of Jesus, you should come with respect. That means when it's time to worship, you worship. Chit-chat's not more important. Checking your emails or texts is not more important. You show respect. When you have conversation with someone, if you have respect, you give them your undivided attention. Something I find extremely annoying is when you're trying to talk to somebody and they're fiddling around with their phone, or they hear a text come in. That can wait 5 minutes or whatever, or an hour. Back in the old days, BC, before cell phones, you had to keep trying to call people and catch them at home. Then along came the phone machine. You leave a message and maybe they call you back. And now, though, we become so instant-oriented. And praise God for that. Texting's a wonderful invention. My point is, we should not allow things to interfere with the show of respect. Whether you're just conversing with someone, or you're worshiping the Lord, or just have the respect to listen to Him, to pay attention. And I don't mean just listen like in this setting, but I mean to be quiet and still before the Lord and pay attention, listening for His voice. It's all very, very important, showing that respect. Well, the freedom to speak, you have on the one hand, and you have respect on the other. So sometimes people, they'll go off to one extreme or the other, and they're afraid to talk to God, or afraid to approach Him. Or others get so cavalier, so nonchalant, that they miss a lot because they're not really paying attention, showing respect. Now, you'll find a lot of times, like in marriages, people may not be listening, and then there's these assumptions or misunderstandings because they weren't really listening. So out of respecting that person, you give your full attention. And it's a good habit to develop that whatever you're going to do, do 100% all your heart, all your focus in it. That's a life lesson. It's a way to walk and live. Whatever you do, do your best with excellence. Don't compare yourself to others and say, oh, who's better than who, or it's enough to get by. But do your best. And we want to carry that over into our communication with people, and especially with our communication with God, that we're given our best time, not like 5 minutes before while you're falling asleep. That's not your best. Give your best to Him. Now, so you have these extremes, and some people are indoctrinated in the Word of God to be afraid of God, so they don't come to Him. If you're afraid someone's going to be mad at you, you avoid them. Children that have parents that have anger issues, their first goal is stay out of dad's way or mom's way, whoever the angry one is. Avoid encounters because you never know when they're going to explode. And a young child can't handle that, so they'll just stay away from you. And you actually train them to avoid you. And some people carry that kind of thinking over to God, thinking, well, if I fail, He's going to smash me a good one. He'll punish me. He'll break my arms or something. And some people even teach this kind of nonsense. God is a God of love, yet at the same time, He is the authority who gives commands, and as we obey His commands, His blessing can be released in our life. But we don't do it out of fear. You see, some groups will try to motivate believers, or some preachers, out of fear. Well, you better do this, or God's not going to be happy. Well, that there may be some truth there, but that should never be the motive for us. We obey because we love Him. 1 John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. So as you see His love for you, your heart's love for Him, and then you want to obey Him and serve Him. It's not out of fear. I always sort of cringe when I see that's what someone's come up under, and they have to overcome this wrong thinking about God before they can get anywhere. Well, we can be bold to come before God. We don't have to be afraid He's going to smash us. Because He loves us, there's a boldness there, or a confidence that we have in Him. And we have that confidence because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from sin. Sin warrants judgment. The judgment on sin was death. But we are not under the judgment of sin any longer, for Jesus took it and His blood cleansed us where we can have a clean or pure conscience. And out of that, we can have a confidence before God. In the military, a person is never to question the higher ranking authority. You obey commands, yes sir, no sir. But they can say, permission to speak, sir. And the commanding officer may say, however, I don't know how they answer that, military guys, permission granted, or you have permission to speak. And then the private would say, sir, sounds pretty crazy. We're going to march right into this machine gun nest here. I don't know if that's a good idea. But if there's a command to do that, then the command's given and you do it. And to go against the command of the authority is big trouble. To disobey a command like that's big, big trouble. But you could ask permission to speak. And if you have favor with that commanding officer, they may say, permission to speak. And then you say, sir, this is nuts. They say, yes, it's nuts, but we're under authority. We're going to march right into that machine gun nest. You have permission to speak to the Heavenly Father. Even though he's creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, the absolute authority, the one who has purpose and plans and rules our life, you have permission to speak because of the blood of Jesus. A new and living way. You see, in the old covenant, they would make offerings, but their conscience was always still condemning them. If you have condemnation, you will not have confidence in prayer. Now, before I go further with that thought, I want to mention that's one of the tools of Satan, is to bring condemnation to you, because he knows you'll have no confidence to go before God because you think he's going to punish you. You're going to avoid him like a child who has an angry parent. Stay out of dad's way. Or stay out of mom's way, whatever the case might have been. Stay out of everybody's way. And some people, they'll end up avoiding God. Satan understands that. So if he can bring condemnation, now he's going to cut your prayer life off just like that. Another thing he'll try and do is bring intimidation and bring fear that you will not have any confidence or boldness. We'll get to that more maybe next week. I don't know if I have time to get into that this week. But the condemnation angle. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can be free from all condemnation. And one thing we need to understand is when you sin, the Holy Spirit who's in your spirit is going to convict you or bring a condemnation of what's wrong, what you did in disobedience. But you can immediately be rid of that through asking forgiveness and by asking cleansing by the blood of Jesus. So you're back with a pure heart once again in a moment. Now that's a wonderful blessing. You can mess up and in a moment's time you can be back right with God. Father, forgive me. It's that simple. I mean, you have to say it with sincerity and mean it, but Father, forgive me, because that's a promise from him. So it's very important that we keep our conscience very, very pure and allow yourself to be led by it. When Paul was exhorting Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, at the end of it, he says, keep a good conscience and faith, without which many have become shipwrecked. And sometimes people, what happens, they begin to allow sin just to stay. And your heart slowly gets harder and harder. Very slowly. And what happens then is you end up not really having confidence to pray a prayer of faith. Confidence to come before the Father. You might know you can. You might know he loves you, but you're... inside, there's this condemnation bringing this fear that he's not going to hear your prayer. So it's so, so important. That's why in Hebrews chapter 3 says, don't harden your heart when the Holy Ghost speaks to you today. Keep a sensitive spirit. As soon as you sense something wasn't right, ask forgiveness both of God and if it involves someone else. Praise God for that covenant blessing, forgiveness of sin, cleansing. Praise God for that. And that's how you're going to keep a marriage going properly, because you will say or do some things offensive. We don't have any liars here, do we? It said he never done that. You will, and sometimes it's not even what you do, but what you don't do. Because, you know, you begin to expect certain behavior out of your spouse, and for whatever reason, they don't do that. So, you know, we would need to be willing to apologize there. Say, please forgive me. And it is absolutely imperative that you forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive others. Because Jesus said that we're forgiven as we forgive others. Or in the same way. If you say the words, I forgive, and you're holding a grudge, well, that's how it's going to be for you. Between you and God. The thing of offenses, carrying offenses, is a luxury you cannot afford. There's a lot of things I can't afford. I don't think about them. I mean, I don't think about buying certain things. I don't have the money to do it. It's a luxury I can't afford. An offense is something you cannot afford, because what it's going to cost you is your confidence before God, possibly even your fellowship with God. It's going to be broken because of that. So we need to practice forgiveness. That's a whole message in itself. But what we're blessed with is we have a boldness and a confidence because of the blood. A new and living way. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, which the Hebrew epistle really brings the revelation of Jesus as high priest. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So he goes on here to list three things we need to do because of Jesus as our high priest, who took his own blood in the Holy of Holies and purchased our redemption, who's made us clean by the work of the blood, which we apply by faith. So we draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, there are things you can say you believe, but do you have an assurance of that faith? Yes, God will forgive me every time. Yes, I fully expect him to heal my body. I fully expect all that he promises me. And a full assurance of faith. Now, it says in Hebrews 11, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you don't believe he's going to bless you as you come to him, you won't be going to him. And this is one big reason why a lot of people don't really pray as they should, because the reality is they don't really have an assurance of faith that he's hearing them. Maybe they used to pray and they do less because, you know, there can be different reasons. Sometimes we're hindering the flow of answered prayer by disobedience. Or it could be there's a waiting time. Some, you know, in some cases, you have to continue to stand, having done all the stand, and wait and allow him to work. The blood of Jesus brings a assurance of faith to us. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I'm going to touch on that more, but I want to go on these next two verses. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Pertaining to boldness in this, we can have a full confidence that God's word is true. We have a covenant with him, and that we can stand on his word for that which he has spoken to us as a promise to us, because he is faithful. We need a confidence in the faithfulness of God, or we're not going to really live by faith and trust him. And then he says, let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, the day is approaching the return of Christ, so it's all the more so, not less. Not less, more. That's what Scripture says. Not forsaking the assembling. And it says here to provoke to love and good works, which the word provoke means to incite a riot. Now, in recent years, there's people going around trying to incite riots in our country. Troublemakers trying to incite a riot. What they're doing is they're doing something to stir the emotions of people up to take certain actions they wouldn't normally take. You know, in some cases, it's like there's like anger or hatred. And to me, it's the stupidest thing. People like in a city burning the stores down. If you're doing that, where's grandma getting her medicine from? I mean, just these people don't have a brain. But that's how, when someone's emotions are stirred like that, whether it's hatred or fear or greed or covetous, whatever it might be, when their emotions are stirred, they're inclined to do something maybe they wouldn't normally do. Now, that my illustration, it's a negative. But we want this over to the positive, where we are stirred to reach out in love, where maybe you would just be about your own business, or you'd just be busy with life. Now, everybody has things they have to do, just take care of themselves and busy with life. And there needs to be stirrings there to stir us to love. Because the natural man, the flesh, will always want to assume this place of comfort and ease, and it's all about me. Your natural man, all of us, the natural man will always do that unless it's being stirred to love. So we need that. Now, there might be a person who really inspires you and stirs you in a way where you feel a compelling to do something that would be God's will. Ideally, together we do that, and we begin to incite like a riot of love and good works. I find at times, for myself, my heart gets stirred in different ways relative to this. Just last night, we were watching an episode of The Chosen. And The Chosen, it's like, if you're not familiar with that, it's a Christian group making these videos of the disciples and all their reactions, perceptions to Jesus. It's pretty good. I mean, it takes a while. You got to really follow to learn the characters and all that. We're watching this episode last night, and it's when Jairus and then the woman with the issue of blood, and I'm just sitting there crying the whole time. Because what they depicted is so real in life. It's desperation. There's a lot of desperate people out there. Some sinner just, and my heart stirred, like, Lord, I have to be able to do more. So you have something like that provoke you to love. But fellowship, and that, as we hear testimony, of the acts, the compassion of Jesus, I'll say it that way, it should stir us. You can get that just reading the Bible. The acting was really good on these programs. On that Chosen program, I mean, it just... The thing that was stirring in me as we were worshiping here is an impartation of a stirring of compassion this day. I'm believing for this. We all just have a stirring to step into a higher level with compassion. As I was watching that, I couldn't help but think. Times in India, Nigeria, other places. And people are desperate. Desperate. And they hear the gospel and hope begins to come alive. And they desperately want you to pray for them. I mean, so much so, it's some meetings like in India. We're going to pray for the people. They'd storm the stage. It's already in a pastor's meeting. And it's like, okay, we'll pray for everybody. And some were so desperate. I remember some pastor wives crawling on the floor between everybody's legs to get up there. Have you been desperate? There's a lot of desperate people. I got a phone call. I called this guy back. Called in the church. I was going to sort of share this afterwards. I'm going to share it now. And I heard desperation. I think he's about 70 years old. Said he had a stroke. His wife was taking care of him. She died. He's got nobody. He said, I called 26 churches. You're the only one that called me back. And he wasn't complaining. I could tell he was a believer. I mean, he's talking Jesus. He wasn't like bragging on people. But I'm listening to him. And with what I've gone through, I thank God. I'm not alone. But to be alone, helpless. I said to Thomas, I gotta do something to help this guy. Then I walk out to get in the car. There's a neighbor. It's the first time I ever talked to her. Thought I'd talk to her now and then. It's a 15-year-old boy. One day he's perfectly healthy, the next day he had some bacterial virus or something. And neurological problems and all this stuff. So I'm standing there talking to her. She's sharing how. She's like, at the end, anyway, compassion. You know, we can get so busy with life that you start losing that. And as we respond to the Holy Spirit in His challenges. So I felt like when that man called, it's like, how can I not trust? try to help them. I'm not as, I'm limited. You know, we all have some limitations. But your compassion gets tugged. And we have to be very careful to never allow ourselves just to get so busy with this, with affairs of life. And the thing is, if we're not stirred to love, selfishness will begin to increase. Your world gets smaller. Your spirit man gets smaller. And it becomes consuming. But the love of God compels you. And we know the truth. We know the Lord. We have hope for people. But we do need the boldness of love where we'll tell them. A lot of times people don't share more because they're afraid of being rejected. But there's, you know, some people aren't interested. Jesus even told his disciples, you know, there's some aren't going to receive you. But there's a lot of people just looking for help. Now, all that being said, I want to go to 1 John chapter 3. And I'll start on verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know we're of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence. And that's the same word in the Greek, translated boldness. We have confidence or boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that's given us. So he exhorts here to love in not just with like your words, but in deed and in truth. And you know, Jesus gave the illustration about the who is my neighbor. Well, it's whoever you're encountering. It's not necessarily the person one or two doors away from your house, but whoever you're encountering. And as we embrace the command of faith and love, by faith we come to him, we pray, we come before the Lord, and the command to love, there's a confidence and a boldness as we move in that. The more we're wrapped up in ourselves, you will lack confidence before the Lord and the confidence in the power of the Word of God to change people. You know, when you look at this world, it can seem impossible, the evil and everything, but it's always been like that. But God's Word has the power to change lives. If our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence or boldness before God. I remember talking with a certain preacher, and in this, the conversation, I don't really remember the specifics anymore, but it was something this person was allowing. We were talking, and it was that you know, years ago, you'd have called that sin. Now you just sort of ignore it. I remember he was very convicted. Sometimes people, they allow, whether it's bad thinking, especially love walk stuff, offenses, complaining. You know, we have no business complaining. We're so blessed. So blessed. You know, you can look at things in life and see the good that's there, or you can look at it for what it's not. There's no end to that. You'll never be happy if you look at everything as for what it's not. Well, boldness. There's a boldness God wants us to have. And it begins before him because of the blood. And as we move in faith, it takes us right into love, where there's a boldness in love, believing the power of the love of God to change people. Like Brother Allen was just in Sri Lanka, and you know, Pradeep's embraced this, where go to these villages, show the love of God, take food to people that don't have any, and then preach the word, and then pray, and the signs follow. It's bringing much, much fruit. And we hear of people that have heard the word and rejected it, or it's been bad representation. And sometimes they need to be shown a lot of the love of God before they're going to fully listen to you. Amen. I just want to pray right now. Father, I pray there be a stirring in our heart today. A stirring, Father, relative to compassion. Father, deliver us from self-centeredness, selfish thinking. Father, lead us into that place where we'll just put all of our needs and desires into your hands and trust you. Bring us into that realm of your love. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I was telling that with the that man I talked to, I'm sitting there on the other end of the phone, I'm listening to him. I think, that could be you. That could be you. And here's opportunity. What are you going to do with it? This is what I'm hearing. He's telling me his story. But I'm hearing the Holy Ghost say, are you going to allow your heart to move you to do what you can? Because sometimes I think God gives, he tests us. And for whatever reason, or distracted or whatever, and you don't pick up on it. And then wonder, why isn't this changing for me? Because the principle there is you give of yourself first. You forgive and you'll be forgiven. You love and you'll see that flow back, reciprocate back.